What if the most dangerous hackers in the world don't actually write malicious code? Like they don't steal passwords and they really just don't care at all about your bank account.
Right. It completely upends our entire mental model of what a threat even looks like because I mean, we are so conditioned to think of a breach as this very mechanical failure, you know?
Exactly. Like a firewall goes down or a server is compromised, data gets extracted. It's binary. You're either in or you're out.
Yeah, it's clean. But the massive, honestly, highly unusual cache of leaked documents we're unpacking for today's deep dive proves that the most sophisticated vulnerabilities aren't in our software at all. They are literally in our consensus reality.
Which is just wild to think about. And so our mission today is to navigate this, it's called the LiminalSec Archive.
That's right.
And we are looking at a deeply strange collection of sources here. I mean, we have LiminalSec's own internal operational handbooks, their ethical codes, their failure logs.
And stacked right next to those, which is fascinating, we have highly classified, genuinely panicked threat assessments from rival intelligence agencies and corporate entities.
Yeah, organizations like DESA, OCSRI, and MEDISEC.
Right. And synthesizing all these documents reveals a collective that essentially weaponizes ambiguity.
Weaponizes ambiguity.
Exactly. LiminalSec does not use fake news. They don't fabricate data. They just expose the fragile, often deeply contradictory structures of the information environment we all inhabit.
So to you listening right now, by the end of this deep dive, you might actually find yourself fundamentally questioning the architecture of the information you consume every single day.
You really might, because LiminalSec operates in an environment they call the Dataplex. And to understand how they hack it, we first have to understand, you know, what that actually is.
Right, and they are very specific about this terminology in their handbooks. The Dataplex isn't just the internet.
No, not at all. LiminalSec defines it as the total environment of meaning production. So it's a synthesis of human cognition, network communication, cultural symbols, and the hidden algorithmic layers that mediate all of it.
Basically, if a system shapes what can be thought, said, or believed by a population, it is a component of the Dataplex.
Exactly.
I was trying to conceptualize this, and it's kind of like an invisible ecosystem we swim in, right? Like suddenly realizing the air you've been breathing your whole life is actually a highly engineered, climate-controlled simulation.
Oh, that is a perfect analogy because they map this structure out into four distinct layers to show exactly how that air is conditioned, so to speak.
Yeah, let's break those down because at the very top you have the surface layer.
Right. And this is the realm of fast-moving memes, daily headlines, viral
It's
outrage.
stuff we see every day.
Yeah, exactly. Now, most people understand that this layer is noisy and optimized for engagement, but LiminalSec treats the surface layer almost as a distraction. It's just the friction. It's where attention is captured and burned off.
Which feeds directly down into the second level, which they call the interpretive layer.
Yes.
And this is where narrative assembly happens. Like when you're scrolling your feed and you see two completely incompatible, fiercely defended explanations for the exact same physical event.
Right, that friction you feel there, that's the interpretive layer at work. It's where ideological filters translate raw surface signal into actual world models.
But the true architecture begins beneath that, right? In the constraint layer.
Precisely. This is the invisible physics engine of the Dataplex. It consists of platform incentives, institutional boundaries, algorithmic prioritization.
It's the layer deciding what even gets seen.
Exactly. It
Yeah.
dictates which signals are allowed to survive long enough to even reach the interpretive layer. It decides what goes viral and what gets silently throttled.
So, I mean, millions of us log on every day believing we are navigating the Betaplex, but the constraint layer means the Dataplex is actually pre-navigating us. We only get to interpret the menu we are handed.
That's a really elegant way to put it. And finally, the deepest level is the substrate layer.
The substrate layer, yeah.
This is language itself. It's our shared metaphors, our baseline definitions of words like truth or justice or value.
And it's incredibly slow to change, I imagine.
It is. But when a shift does occur in the substrate layer, it cascades up and alters absolutely everything above it.
Which brings us to the current state of things. According to their internal manifesto, LiminalSec believes the Dataplex is currently suffering from something they call signal saturation and consensus fragmentation.
Right.
Because we are just drowning in so much constant noise, meaning itself is compressing. The system is so overloaded that our shared reality is actively branching into these mutually exclusive world models.
And that reality brings us to their operational strategy. Because the Dataplex is entirely constructed by human consensus and code, it inherently contains structural vulnerabilities.
It has weak points.
Exactly. LiminalSec actively hunts for these weak points, which their handbooks refer to as seams.
Seams. I love this concept so much. A seam is defined as a place where reality's wallpaper peels.
Yeah, it's anywhere a system's continuity depends on a polite concealment or just an unexamined contradiction.
Let's make this concrete for everyone. The documents highlight something called the authority seam.
Right. So an authority seam is a structural weak point where an institution's legitimacy relies heavily on performance rather than solid grounding.
Give me a real-world example of that.
Okay, imagine an official press conference. A journalist asks a highly technical, completely valid question about a policy failure.
Okay.
Now, instead of answering the question, the spokesperson attacks the premise of the question itself, implying that even asking it is inappropriate or unpatriotic.
Oh, I see. So the authority increases its volume as the quality of its evidence decreases.
Exactly. The seam is that gap between the performance of control and the reality of their ignorance. And when LiminalSec finds that gap, they press on it.
They just push right there. And then there's another one called the silent seam.
Yes, the silent seam.
And this isn't just a topic people forgot to talk about. It's an engineered, patterned absence.
Right. It's a topic that repeatedly fails to survive contacts with the system.
Like when a conversation online suddenly and uniformly shifts direction right before a logical but uncomfortable conclusion is reached.
Exactly. And LiminalSec has developed highly specific tactics to exploit these exact seams. One method, detailed in their handbook, is the soft fracture.
The soft fracture.
Yeah. This involves introducing a single, surgically precise inconsistency into a highly stable narrative, and then they literally just step back to observe the interpretive chaos.
So, functionally, what does a soft fracture actually look like? Are we talking about, like, dropping a weird historical fact into a polarized political debate?
Pretty much, yeah.
Like finding a thread where two sides are screaming at each other with absolute certainty and inserting a piece of context that awkwardly proves both of them slightly wrong.
That's a classic soft fracture. Or consider their use of the mirror loop.
Okay, what's a mirror loop?
This is where they reflect a system's own logic back at itself, but with the subtle implications slightly exaggerated.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, imagine taking an extreme, rigid ideology and agreeing with it so vehemently and so literally that it forces the original proponents to backpedal and suddenly have to defend nuance.
They trap the system in its own reflection until it destabilizes.
Exactly.
Okay, I have to step in and push back here for a second. Because reading these tactics, the soft fractures, the mirror loops, dropping weird facts to watch people argue, how is this not just a hyper-intellectualized rationalization for being an internet troll?
It really sounds like it, doesn't it?
It totally does. It sounds like they are just causing chaos for the fun of it, but using a thesaurus to justify it.
That is the exact question any critical reader should ask. And interestingly, it's a tension LiminalSec aggressively manages internally.
Really?
Yeah. If you look at their Ethics and Conduct Protocol version 0.9, they draw a very sharp, definitive line between trolling and their operation.
Okay, how do they define the difference?
Trolling seeks an emotional reaction. It wants anger, confusion, or distress. LiminalSec seeks revelation. They have incredibly strict rules for their operators to ensure this distinction.
Yeah, that protocol was a surprisingly fascinating read. Rule number one is literally, do not manufacture falsehoods. They don't use deepfakes. They don't make up statistics.
They explicitly state, we introduce ambiguity. We do not fabricate reality.
Which is a huge distinction.
It is. Their philosophy is that if truth becomes entirely optional, the seams just disappear into the background noise. You can't reveal the flaw in a structure if you are just throwing mud at it.
Right. And furthermore, they have a strict mandate against punching down, which I found really interesting.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Operations was only target systems, narratives, and rigid structures of authority.
So exposing the fragility of vulnerable populations isn't insight, according to the protocol. It's just cruelty misnamed as analysis. They even forbid their operators from aiming for the total collapse of shared reality. There's a line in the handbook that says, chaos without structure is indistinguishable from silence.
They want to tilt these systems just enough to reveal the hidden architecture underneath. They want you to see the hologram, not burn down the building.
The ultimate test for any LiminalSec intervention is, does this create awareness of the Dataplex, or does it just create disorientation without an exit?
They operate with a surprising amount of philosophical restraint, really.
Which makes the second half of our source deck so incredibly jarring.
Oh, completely.
I mean, if liminal sec is acting with this much restraint and fundamentally relying on true information, why do the classified government documents treat them like an absolute existential terror?
It's a great question. Let's get into these threat assessments, starting with the Directorate of Emergent Systems Analysis, or DESA.
Yeah, the DESA file perfectly illustrates how rigid authority structures perceive ambiguity as a lethal threat.
Yep.
Exactly. DEASA rates liminal sec's systemic threat level as HEH. And they point out that traditional cybersecurity is totally useless here because liminal sec doesn't use malware.
Right. They use what DESA calls semantic trojans.
Yes.
Let's break that down. Because a semantic trojan is a wild concept. It's like taking a meme on the surface. It looks like a harmless, highly optimized piece of engagement bait. That's the payload delivery system.
Right.
But the way the language is structured forces the platform's algorithm to categorize a highly complex, subversive idea as light entertainment.
They aren't hacking the platform's code at all. They're using our own language to trick the algorithm into rewriting its own categorization rules.
It's brilliant. And the DESA analysts recognize how impossible this is to combat. There is a striking quote in their file, "You cannot arrest a paradox."
You cannot arrest a paradox. It's chilling. DESA theorizes that liminal sec might not even be a traditional group of hackers sitting in a chat room.
What do they think they are? They suggest it operates as an egregore, basically a non-localized feedback system that thinks using people, an emergent property of the network itself.
Wow. And then the Office of Cognitive Security and Reality Integrity, OCSRI, takes it even further.
Oh, they panic even more.
They classify liminal sec as black glass, which they designate a Category V cognitive threat. They warn that prolonged exposure to liminal sec operations causes semantic entropy.
Semantic entropy is a terrifying concept for an intelligence agency. OCSRI's assessment states that liminal sec operations erode the baseline conditions necessary for consensus reality.
So if you are constantly exposed to these mirror loops and soft fractures, you literally lose the ability to distinguish signal from noise.
The result is a population paralyzed by plural incompatible certainties.
Plural incompatible certainties. Like, everyone is absolutely convinced they are right, but they are living in completely different realities.
Exactly.
So logistically, how do these agencies fight back? Because the documents clearly state that censoring liminal sec just proves the existence of the silent seam and amplifies the signal.
The countermeasures they outline are desperate and, frankly, quite dark. The primary strategy is narrative saturation.
Narrative saturation.
Yeah, this involves government agencies artificially flooding the zone with simple, highly stable, emotionally resonant frameworks.
So they try to artificially reduce the bandwidth available for ambiguity by giving people easy, pre-packaged narratives to cling to.
Right. But the most extreme measure has to be the controlled ignorance doctrine.
Hey, let me make sure I'm getting this right. Are you saying the intelligence agencies are essentially mandating institutional cognitive dissonance?
That is exactly what they are doing.
They are literally training their analysts to flag liminal sec content and not interpret it. They order their people to look at the data but actively refuse to think about what it means to prevent falling into these recursive ambiguity traps.
It sounds absurd, but from a systems defense perspective, it's their only option. The agency realized that attempting to fully model or understand a liminal sec operation increases their own system's complexity beyond manageable thresholds.
So understanding the threat is the threat.
Yes. As one DESA analyst noted in the file right before being reassigned, I might add, the system changes what it is depending on how you look at it. If you try to analyze the ambiguity, you become infected by it.
So the government's best defense against a cognitive threat is literally just choosing not to think. That is wild.
It is.
But while governments care about maintaining control and narrative dominance, corporations care about profit.
Naturally.
And you can't sell a product if the meaning of your brand keeps dissolving, which explains the absolute panic we see in the MediSec files.
MediSec is a fascinating inclusion in this archive. Their entire business model is predicated on extracting, stabilizing, and packaging meaning to sell to advertisers and platforms.
They need words and symbols to have reliable, predictable, emotional impacts.
Right. And liminal sec introduces semantic entropy, which directly threatens MediSec's bottom line.
I have to admit, reading the internal paranoia in the MediSec document is darkly hilarious.
Yeah.
They are convinced that liminal sec is a front for something they call frognonymous.
Frognonymous.
I know. which they describe, in dead earnest, as a distributed amphibian intelligence. It's like a massive corporate branding agency trying to declare a tactical war on a puddle of water and losing badly.
The tone shift from the government files is quite remarkable. Mattisek focuses heavily on LiminalSec's alleged field signatures. They track phenomena like semantic rehydration.
Okay, what is semantic rehydration?
This is where LiminalSec takes a dead, overused corporate metaphor, say, cloud computing or synergy, and starts using it so literally in public forums that it breaks the abstraction.
Oh, I see. The word suddenly regains its literal meaning, making the corporate messaging look totally absurd.
Exactly.
Right. And they also track recursive irony loops. This is when a corporate statement or a brand tweet is engaged with in a way that is layered in so much irony, you literally cannot tell if the users are mocking the brand, threatening the brand, or genuinely supporting it.
And Mattisek notes that when this happens, their predictive algorithms completely fail, and productivity declines while, and I quote, vibes increase.
Vibes increase. That is incredible.
Which led to Mattisek launching counteroperations, like Croakback.
Croakback.
Yeah, which was their attempt to inject focus group humor into serious narratives to reclaim control of the irony.
Let me guess, it failed spectacularly.
Spectacularly.
Because you can't focus group ambiguity. But what's really interesting is how Mattisek eventually lands on this almost defeated philosophical conclusion.
Right. After throwing millions of dollars at the problem, they decide that LiminalSec might actually be a necessary ecological counterbalance.
I think so.
They realized that if a company like Mattisek succeeds too well at stabilizing meaning, the dataplex becomes brittle. It becomes a monoculture. LiminalSec, by constantly testing the seams, actually keeps meaning alive.
There's an intercepted transmission in the file that says, "You build your towers from meaning. We fill the cracks with water. When it rains, we inherit everything."
It perfectly captures the asymmetrical warfare here.
It really does. But here is the twist. Despite having intelligence agencies mandating ignorance and corporations hunting amphibian intelligences, the sources reveal that LiminalSec's greatest vulnerability isn't external at all.
No, it isn't.
It is entirely internal. Let's look at the mechanics of their failures in the failed operations log version 1.7.
This log is crucial because it proves LiminalSec is not infallible, and they know it. They view these failures as the process revealing its own edges.
What's the most common failure?
One of the most common patterns of failure they log is called context overrides content.
Look at entry 01 in the log for this. They attempted a soft fracture. They crafted a highly nuanced, slightly ambiguous question and introduced it into a very stable partisan narrative.
Right. The goal was to make people pause and reflect.
But because the emotional temperature of that specific platform was so hot, the nuance burned up instantly. The community completely ignored the content of the question and immediately attacked what they perceived to be a sarcastic tone.
The environment's context completely overrode the informational content.
Exactly. Or consider entry 22, which they call the antibody response.
Right. An operator tried to press an authority seam during a live digital town hall. They didn't attack the speaker. They simply asked a methodical question about how a specific conclusion was reached.
But instead of exposing the seam, the authority figure escalated the emotional stakes, and the community aggressively polarized to defend their leader.
The structure prioritized defending its social status over addressing the content of the query.
But the entry that really exposes their core vulnerability is entry 42, recursive destabilization.
This one is fascinating. LiminalSec made the mistake of applying their own seam detection methodology to themselves.
They asked an internal operational question. Are we actually optimizing for insight, or are we just getting addicted to the feeling of insight?
And asking that single question caused a massive operational slowdown. It generated multiple conflicting conclusions within the collective.
It's like they soft fractured themselves.
They really did. This vulnerability is deeply tied to their glossary of unstable terms, version 2.1. In that document, LiminalSec lists words like belief, reality, and truth, providing both primary and shadow definitions.
But the document includes a warning to their own operators that these terms are actively rewriting themselves within the reader's mind while being read.
The profound irony here is inescapable.
Totally. By dedicating themselves entirely to the study of instability and ambiguity, LiminalSec fundamentally struggles to maintain its own boundaries.
They have a strict internal warning against identity fixation.
What is that?
It's the danger of treating LiminalSec as a tribe or a club. Because the moment you defend an identity, you draw a boundary.
And the moment you draw a boundary, you create a seam.
Exactly. If they fight to protect what liminal sec is, they become exactly the kind of rigid, performative structure they are trying to dismantle.
It is the ultimate operational paradox. As they write in their own logs, if liminal sec becomes dogmatic, performative, or destructive for its own sake, then it has become another system that requires liminal sec.
Their self-awareness is almost paralyzing.
So we've spent this time talking about massive systemic concepts, government paranoia, corporate extraction models, the foundational architecture of the dataplex.
Heavy stuff.
Very heavy. But I want to bring all of this down from the macro level directly to the individual level, specifically to your level listening to this right now.
Yeah, let's look at the very bottom of our source stack.
There is a seemingly quiet intercepted chat log between an anonymous user called Candidate17 and a liminal sec node operating under the name GlassFrog.
That transcript is perhaps the most illuminating single document in the entire archive, honestly, because it removes all the grand systemic theory.
Right. The candidate approaches GlassFrog, basically asking how to join. They asked if liminal sec is a real group, if there is a vetting process, and if they are being recruited.
And GlassFrog's response completely shatters that binary cinematic idea of the hacker we talked about at the beginning.
GlassFrog reveals that liminal sec doesn't recruit. Recruitment implies hierarchy, initiation rites, and borders.
GlassFrog simply says, there are no gates here, only thresholds.
And then the most liberating part of that exchange is when GlassFrog tells the candidate that they are already inside the system.
They explain that the moment you notice a contradiction being politely ignored in a meeting.
Or an explanation on the news arriving just a little too quickly.
Or a platform's algorithm performing certainty a little too confidently, you are already doing the work of liminal sec.
The candidate is confused and asks, am I already part of it? And GlassFrog points out that merely by noticing the friction, merely by asking a question that didn't quite fit the accepted narrative, they are already standing at the threshold.
What they choose to do with that awareness next is entirely up to them.
It strips away all the mystique. You don't need to know how to code to breach the dataplex. You don't need to bypass a firewall.
You just need to stubbornly retain your curiosity in a digital environment that is explicitly designed and financially incentivized to suppress it.
The structural integrity of our shared reality isn't maintained by unbreakable code. It's maintained by our collective unspoken agreement not to look too closely at the seams.
It's a powerful framework for navigating the modern information space.
It is. And that brings us to the end of our dive into the Liminal Sec archive. I want to leave you with GlassFrog's gentle challenge. The next time you encounter something online or anywhere in the dataplex that presents itself as obvious, inevitable, or beyond question, don't get angry.
Don't waste your energy arguing with the surface layer.
Right. Pause. Ask one small question that doesn't quite fit the given framework. Tilt the reality slightly and watch what moves. If nothing happens, you've lost nothing. But if something shifts, well, welcome to the threshold.
It really makes you rethink every interaction online.
It does. But it also leaves me with one final, deeply unsettling thought that isn't actually in any of these leaked documents.
Oh, what's that?
Right now, liminal sec relies on human curiosity to find these seams. But we are rapidly moving into an era where artificial intelligence models are mapping human behavior at a scale we literally can't comprehend.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
If human beings are already this vulnerable to cognitive hacks, if our consensus reality can be tilted by just one well-placed contradiction, what happens when highly advanced AI models learn to automate this process?
That is a terrifying thought.
What happens when an algorithm decides to start mapping and pressing our cultural seams at scale, millions of times a second? Will we even know what reality is anymore?